Good morning. I hope everybody is doing well. Had a great week so far. Had a great weekend. The beautiful weather. I think it rained here. I was actually out of town, but just a beautiful day over the weekend. Woke up in Wintergreen, 56 degrees Sunday morning. Fall is in the air. Anyway, thanks for joining Advanced Leadership Training and Strategies again. I sent an email out yesterday regarding today's topic about trust, and I appreciate you being part of this. We're going to jump into it and just see where things take us. So excited about today's session for sure. I got to get to my, there we go. And just some of the topics, some of the things we're going to dive into today. I want to talk about trust and what it is, what trust is, what it looks like, practically speaking, what should it look like on our team, within our department, what it cost and how it cost us when we don't have trust, and how it benefits us when we do have it. And then ultimately, how do we build trust and become more of a trusting environment and team? I get an opportunity to work with college sports teams in the area, ODU, Wesleyan, Norfolk State, and the first exercise I do with any team I work with is all about building trust. And part of the thought behind this is a college team, a sports team, doesn't have a year, 2 years, 3 years to decide if they trust each other. They have a season, and they have to obviously exploit the opportunity they have. And I can tell you the cliff notes to building trust is this vulnerability, this openness, so other people can know us, know our story, know more about why we are the way we are. And all great teams are built on trust, period. The foundation of all great teams is trust. And the truth is, you cannot be a great team without trust. The chemistry is not going to be there. The capacity for heavy lifting, the tough moments when you need to be able to rise to another level, it's just not going to happen. Patrick Lincioni, from the book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, he says, I've come to one inescapable conclusion. No quality or characteristic is more important than trust. Unfortunately, there is probably no quality or characteristic that is as rare as trust either. So trust, one of the reasons I believe it's hard is it's just hard to trust, period. We live in such a skeptical, jaded world anymore and seemingly getting less trustworthy. But the truth is, like, I want people to trust me and may not extend that to other people. And you probably all fit into that same boat. We want to be trusted. We just don't always do a good job at extending the same trust to other people. Many leaders have difficulty being authentic. In other words, if we are different as a leader, compartmentally or contextually, than who we really are, then we may struggle being our authentic self. When we're growing up through the ranks corporately, there's cliches that you'll hear. Look out for number one. I've got to get mine and never let them see you sweat, that kind of encourage this inauthenticity, this lack of realness. And there's a habit called fundamental attribution error. And what it is where we falsely attribute negative behaviors of others to their character while we attribute our own negative behavior to an environment. In other words, when someone else doesn't live up to our expectations, we are likely to deem them as a less than ideal person. We may not call them bad, but they come into question their character. But if we walk through the same event We want people to know it was because of a circumstantial moment, something in our environment. In other words, they're bad, we're not. And so there's multiple reasons why we can struggle having trust in our environment. But here's ultimately what trust is all about: vulnerability. It's our ability as leaders to be vulnerable, to be open, authentic, to be real. When we have vulnerability, it indicates that trust is high, and it's high enough that people, we, our team, no longer have to worry about protecting ourselves or themselves. It's also being unafraid to be real, to admit our mistakes, weaknesses, concerns without fear of reprisal. And often we live or create environments that are almost the opposite of that. Hide our mistakes, don't show our weaknesses, and don't show concerns about anything because of maybe the environment we have either inherited or work in doesn't allow realness and vulnerability. And so a question that I would encourage you to take with you today, maybe make it a table talk with your team. Is it safe to be vulnerable or to be real on your team? And evaluate what happens when people open up. Does the team get better? Do we shut it down? If people aren't opening up and taking risks in your meeting, it may be because there's a lack of trust somewhere on your team. And I think the operative word there is somewhere. Your team in general may have it. There may be individuals that don't, or they may just be an overarching theme of, we just don't operate like that here. What's it look like? Ultimately, it looks like leaders modeling vulnerability and creating an environment that doesn't punish it. We have to be comfortable with all the pieces of what we're going to talk about today to fully develop an operative trust and vulnerability. And so the leader, as we've talked on, leaders lead, leaders go first, leaders have to model this, but also ensure that the environment is creating a safety net so we can allow our team and others to be equally vulnerable and open. It's trusting agendas. When we don't trust someone's agenda, what are they really up to? We'll pull back. And so when we can know each other and know there's no ulterior motives, no other agendas, we're able really to operate at a higher level. It's modeling positive conflict as productive. That positive conflict means that we're able to bring our ideas to the table and we're able to elevate them to the best place. The ability to commit to we instead of me is what it starts looking like, that sense of team camaraderie. And I want to note that a team is two or more people. A team doesn't have to be 12 people. It's you and somebody else are a team. If your team is two, if your team is 32, if it's 102, 1,002, it's a team. And so we're not talking about only when we sit in a boardroom with the team, the 10 or the 12. I'm talking about every alliance, everything you have going on, that's you plus somebody else is a team. And here's some of the cost that happens when teams operate without trust. First off, we're going to underperform, and here's why. We fail to tap into the skills, experiences, and collective genius of the team. So going back to that healthy debate, that healthy conflict, that healthy input, vulnerability, and authenticity, if we're not creating environments where everyone can bring that to the table, then skills are being untapped, experiences are not even being shared, and the collective genius of us, of we, is not being utilized at all. And so the underperformance is a byproduct of what's really going on, as the collective field just doesn't feel that trust is there. When team members are more concerned about how to say what needs to be said instead of saying it, trust is missing, time is being wasted. Also, it's not unusual for teams like this to have a lower morale just because people will feel undervalued, underutilized, knowing that they may not be able to bring their best to the table. And then also, teams without trust are incapable of healthy debate, resorting to veiled discussions, guarded comments, and false agreements. And I want to talk about this false agreement. What happens in these moments is, instead of everyone feeling heard, whether it's a directive, a demand, whether it's the loudest person on the team always speaks up, the people that may be more reserved, less extroverted, more guarded, are simply going to nod their head. And the leader, if we're not aware of this, we may say, is everybody okay? Everybody good? We'll think the head nod is buy-in, where really the yes, I'm good is more of a, I don't want to argue. It's not worth it. I spoke up in the past, got my hand slapped. So yeah, we're all in agreement. And then it still leads to that underperforming aspect of a team. Some of the benefits of a team with trust, each of these words, in my opinion, are incredibly important. You're going to have a greater chemistry. The bond in your team is going to be greater. The capacity of your team is going to be greater because two can carry more than one plus one. Five can do more than the work of five individuals. And so the capacity of the team is, it's not exponential. However, it is definitely multiplied. And then the commitment to excellence, the commitment to raising the bar is owned by the team as opposed to the leader and or a couple individuals. Also, we just don't hide. If I made a mistake, it's okay to say that's on me. And if I find out I can't admit my mistakes, then of course we go back to that non-trusting environment. And so when you have trust, you're able to find and identify where we can continually improve. Good corporate word, continual improvement. And so when we don't have to hide and we can bring out our greatest and our less than great moments, we all get better together. We take ideas and elevate them as opposed to having a single facet to it. We get input from everybody, and the idea is elevated to a place it cannot get to without the trust. And then we take appropriate risks. Appropriate, of course, is the important word. It doesn't mean we have mavericks on the team. It just means that people feel okay to bring up ideas, to try something new, to get approval, to try a new way or whatever. And we have modeling that. The vulnerability, the trust, the authenticity is all in place when it does or doesn't work out. If it works out, we celebrate their idea. If it doesn't, we back up, we regroup, and we go again. Also, you'll give energy to the most important ideas instead of the periphery, trying to manage the culture and get everyone on board and just the silliness that can come with that. This one is one of my favorite ones of the day. When we have a team of trust, there is a massive difference between collaboration and cooperation. Cooperation is the team without trust, to where we're going to play well together. We're going to get along. Collaboration, however, is elevating ideas. This is where you get the best input from everybody. You hear the good, the bad, the happy, the sad from everyone because we're willing to collaborate because it's a safe environment. And if you don't hear anything else other than that today, I would encourage you to build a team that collaborates at high levels versus cooperates at an easy level. It changes everything a team can do. Also, that healthy debate and dialogue. When I know it's okay to disagree, I will disagree. If I feel like it just costs too much, you're never going to hear my other opinions or ideas. So we often let me get this. Healthy conflicts, the healthy happy medium between artificial harmony, the head nods, and mean-spirited personal attacks. When we're able to bring the ideas to the table, and I know it's okay to disagree, you're going to get more out of people. However, the point of this is when we are able to bring our debate and dialogue to the team, disagree, we still have to walk out in total agreement once we've elevated the idea. It doesn't have to be your idea, my idea. We as a team have elevated the whole concept to a higher place. And so how do you build trust? The key ingredient is courage, not time. What we'll often say about trust is, I don't know if I trust Bob. I don't know if I trust Kathy. And what we're really saying is, I don't know them well enough yet to know if I trust them. Haven't seen all their flavors, all their colors. Haven't seen them in a good day, a bad day, or something like that, right? So as a leader, this is what I do with teams that I work with, sports teams. We have to have the courage to be open, vulnerable, candid, and show our authentic self. And see, once again, this is an exercise I do with a sports team that takes less than 2 hours. And literally, the team is transformed within that moment. We'll work together for years and still not feel like we know each other. And so the reason I say it's courage, not time, is time can go by forever. But if I still feel like I don't know you, my ability to fully trust you will always be compromised. And so it's the courage to be authentic, vulnerable, candid, real, seeing all colors of us. When I know your story, then I understand why you may or may not be the way you are in certain areas. You don't have to be like me. I just understand now why you are like that, or why you ask so many questions, or why you're afraid of failing, or why this is such a big deal to you. And of course, as always, it starts with the leadership. It takes massive courage to be yourself, authentically replacing professional cool with uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. You have to get to a place to where you don't feel like you put on your leadership face. Like when you get to work, learning to be authentically you, because it's the same skills you're going to have, just now you're sharing them from a less of a cerebral place and more of an authentic place. Empathetic leadership, we're going to dig into this much more as we keep going in the future, but it's really the capacity to feel connected to other people and understand where they are or where they're not, and lead more in that relational aspect that I've talked about as opposed to the transactional. There's levels of empathetic leadership. Cognitive is just, I understand where you're at. But when you get down to like an action-based empathy, it's, I know this about you. How can I help? How can I add value? And so just learning to have empathy, learning to be present and in touch with your leadership, with your team, will take this a long way. And then as a team, here's what it looks like. It's safe to speak up. It's safe to dialogue. It's safe to bring up your ideas. The team values input versus that silence, redundancy, or false agreements. If you have an introverted person or persons on your team who tend to not speak up or feel like they are run over by others, you as a leader have to figure out, how do you draw them into a conversation they feel comfortable with? Redundancy, if all of us have the same idea, only one of us is needed. And so you don't want redundancy. You want people to bring the uniqueness to the team. Their ideas doesn't have to be right, doesn't have to be agreed, but you don't want built-in redundancy. Otherwise, only one of us is needed at any given time. And then that false agreement, that's where everyone nods their head, but They may not have felt heard. They may not have really been able to buy in or whatever. And so a team that has this values those inputs, and you're learning to collaborate instead of just cooperate. And here's maybe my second favorite. I could tell you many of them are my favorite. Note for the day: if you want to take your team to a higher level, appoint a devil's advocate in the meetings to mine for the gold. You may have a person who's just really good at this. You may need to rotate. You don't want someone to feel like they're the hammer in the team and they do this. But appointing a devil's advocate that can ask quality questions, that can ask, why did we land on this? Can we make it better? What did you mean by that, Steve? Can you tell me more? Someone who just minds for that collaborative place to where we are elevating ideas to the biggest and highest place we can, that is an amazing team you're developing when you have that. And so I would highly encourage you, if your atmosphere, if your department, your company allows that, appoint a devil's advocate. Let it be known. This is not under the radar. Today, Bob, I want you to play the devil's advocate. Help us elevate this idea to the highest place possible. Next week, it may be Bill. Next week, it may be Leah. However it works, but find people that can help make the team better and make it safe for these types of things, because you're modeling now the collaboration, you're modeling input, you're modeling that you want to hear from everybody. So here's 10 ways to build trust in your team. And the first one is you have to model this, the vulnerability and the trust. You have to be real. And what I mean by that is not only you have to walk it out, you have to give it away. You want your team to trust you, trust your team. You have to find ways to be vulnerable. And this is so counterintuitive for the way many leaders think, but you just have to be real. You have to find ways to let the guard down, just be yourself, to where people, again, that amygdala, that part of their brain, they feel like rapport is being built. You're like me, I can like and trust you. And if their amygdala, if their subconscious mind is thinking you're not real, you're acting a role, then they're going to always find it difficult to fully trust you. Say what you're going to do and do what you say. Just period. Just be a person of your word. Some of these are going to be so obvious and yet need to be said, because not everyone operates this way. But you have to be a person of your word. You have to say what you're going to do and then do what you said you're going to do. And if it doesn't work out, own it, period. Communicate, communicate, communicate. We tend to under-communicate where the better option would be over-communicate. Here's what happens when we don't communicate well with our team. There's information, disinformation, misinformation. When we're given information and we're given it copiously and leaving no room for error, then mis or disinformation has no place. When we under-communicate, they're going to fill in the gaps. And so misinformation is where we just misinformed. I heard, or I think what's going on. There's no motive, just somebody is saying the wrong thing. Disinformation is where somebody intentionally is making up stuff to share what they think is going on, making up their own communication. And so as a leader, the better you communicate with your team, the better your team is going to feel in touch with you. So communicate audibly, communicate through voicemails, communicate through emails. Like, redundancy in this regard is a positive thing. Value long-term relationships more than short-term success. The win we get today may not be worth the fallout that it took to get there. Instead, build long-term relationships. Remember when we talked about levels of leadership, you want to be the leader that people are trying to get on your team because of the value you're adding to the leaders that are with you. And then again, just be honest. Don't lie. People will find it out. And even if it's what you did over the weekend, like, just be honest with it, as opposed to feeling like we have to embellish, or if it doesn't work out, it didn't work out. It's okay. And so in any moment, if you feel like you're in the gray, it's not exactly a lie, it's kind of not just the truth or whatever, find a way to live in that authentic honesty, and the world, your team, will reward you for that. Coach your team. Don't just be a boss. This is that higher level of leadership. Coach them. Touch base with each of them. Walk slowly through the crowd. Connect with them one-on-one. Know where their touch points are that you could suggest that book. Or, hey, I noticed in the meeting yesterday, it seemed like you struggled with this idea. What was going on? Not in an accusative way, but in a way you can help them push through maybe their fears, their trepidations, and so forth. Model that you care. This is that empathy again, but model it. We can just get so directive and so chilled as a leader that we don't model care as well as we probably should. Do the right thing. And when you don't, just admit it. If things aren't going like you thought they would, call a timeout. If you made a decision and it didn't play out, we blew an area of the budget out or whatever, just own it. It will take you much further. And there's going to be times where doing the right thing is going to cost, whether it's going to cost you, whether it's going to cost finances, whether it's going to cost other pieces. There's moments where the priority and values you operate from are going to be put in the radar, and you just have to already have decisions made. I'm always going to do the right thing regardless, and then everything else will fall in line for you. Be transparent, authentic, share from your mistakes and your faults. Don't only share your wins. Don't only share how great you did or whatever. Share the holistic being of you. So ultimately, others are allowed to know you. And this is really what it's all about, is feeling like I'm connected to you. And because of that, I'll work harder for you. I'll do more for you because the chemistry is there. That trust factor is there. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. This is a little bit of a review, and I see there's a few comments I want to get to, but get comfortable with authenticity and vulnerability. Practice that, even if you have to start. If this is like we're way into the deep end of the pool with this stuff, find a person that you can just start connecting with. Maybe another leader at first, or your upline, but find somebody you can start practicing being authentic and vulnerable with. Vulnerable doesn't mean you're getting into the nitty-gritty weeds of your life. It just means you don't feel like you have to protect yourself all the time, or you feel like you always have to be Superman or Superwoman. It's the ability to just be real at any given moment and find ways to practice that. If you're ahead of the curve, make sure you're modeling that in your team to where the team can start embracing authenticity and vulnerability as well. Practice and model it, as I just mentioned, one-on-one with each of the team as well as the team. Find ways that would be within bounds, but comfort for you and the other person to start connecting and leading at a deeper level. Make it safe for them. Ask questions: who, what, where, when, why, how. Open-ended questions in meetings, to where, again, if you're dealing with transaction, you're in a meeting to get something done. If you're there to get the best thing done, you have to slow down and start elevating the ideas. And again, remember that just because I'm quiet in the meeting doesn't mean I have nothing to say. It doesn't mean I'm less than somebody or inferior to Joe's idea. It just means I may not feel safe and you may have to help me bring my ideas to the table. And so as a leader, find ways to make it safe for everybody to bring input to the table, the staff, the team, and invite it into the team. Just put it up, put the flag up. We're going to make this team a more collaborative team instead of just a cooperative team. We're going to start elevating ideas to the highest place we can, and then put yourself out there and just say, and if anytime I mess this up, somebody let me know because I believe in you. Here's what's crazy is we'll hire the best people we can for the job they do and then not exploit all the value and talent they bring to the team or position. And so we have to trust that to bring it to the team. And then the last thought here would be consistent progress is bigger than just the event itself. And so if you need to navigate into this water, this territory, it's a much better play to go into it and decide, here's what I'm going to start doing today. And you're going to do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And then build on it as you go, because that will take you much higher than throwing up the flag today. We're going to be a collaborative team. And then a month from now, nobody heard anything about the collaboration. So find something that you could do progressively, build on it, and let that ultimately become how you start elevating the team to another place. So, let me see here. How do you navigate, Angelique, good morning. How do you navigate working with deceitful people? It's hard to build trust, be your authentic self when you feel like you have to keep certain people. The first thing I know is you're always going to have that feeling. Whether it's correct or not, I can't tell you that. But I still encourage you and anybody, you have to realize that you still don't want to pull back who you are. It doesn't mean you have to share as much with that person as you may with other people. You want to still operate from a place to where you're not changing you contextually or situationally. In other words, you be Angel everywhere you are and learn to grow into that, but realize some people, you just can't tell them as much. You can't be as open with them. It doesn't mean you pull back from being you. It just means not everybody can handle the same data. I have the same deal. Like, you know, we all have stories and everything, and there's going to be people that you just, you have to grow to that place. And depending on who that is, Angel, there may be even a role you can play almost through coaching. I don't know who it is, obviously, but if you're able to coach them through that, almost like, you know, I don't know why you said that yesterday, or can you help me understand where you're coming from, or whatever. So that makes sense. Thank you. You're welcome. Some leaders who are managers are just not capable. I agree with this 100% on Anonymous. Some leaders who are managers are just not capable of these traits. Instead of being frustrated, I'm learning to accept this on my chain of command. They're demanding, controlling, and want to be the ones to look good, can't change people, but we allow ourselves to respond. But how we respond. I am in 100% agreement. Like when we teach these things, I said, you know, a couple weeks ago, like the gap widens, right? And I've seen it in many companies. We have a person that's a good leader in something. They're good at making widgets. And so we make them the leader of widget makers, and they're horrible at it. It's just, it happens everywhere. Just because I could work there doesn't make me a good leader of that. And I think I shared when I was at Dominion Power, I worked there 8 years and I had the worst boss of my life for 6.5 years. I refused to give up who I was. Matter of fact, if anything, I raised the bar in certain capacities just because I wasn't going to lose. That's all. And I have always determined to be the best employee a company has. That's just how I was raised and that's how I played it. But I agree. So sadly, that's a reality that, you know, we can't always change, but we don't let it change us. Crystal, good morning. Crystal, I hope your audio has fixed itself. I don't know where you're at, but sorry for that. Like Brady going to the Bucks. I wish I had seen that in real time. Sorry about that. But yeah, crazy, right? So Angela, not a question. Let me see. Not a question, but more of an observation. I like the concept of rotating the role. Yeah, devil's advocate. It helps the team member to learn to look for. Absolutely. It is absolutely a training moment, right? To where with that person, you could also meet with them after. Like if they didn't follow the breadcrumbs and ask good questions, you could say, hey, in that moment, you could have done this and it would have made it even better, you know? Or ideally it is helping them. We talked about it. Leaders see big picture, not just the details. Or you may be able to co-foster that moment to where I love what John just asked. So who else wants to ping on that? Something to where you're helping them see what you do as well. So AJ, thanks for the validation. I recently made a hire, currently policing as a heart. Yeah, agree. Even where it's great, like here, I had a very qualified, experienced applicant. I needed to start him above the starting salary. The issue I had was a current proven less experienced officer. I ended up giving my proven officer a raise to keep his proven successes acknowledgement. I then hired just under that. Yeah, absolutely, man. You lead well, AJ. I appreciate what you bring to the table. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything. These don't come in order for some reason. Angelique, I've got that. Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous, by the way. I love that question and insight and comment. Crystal, let me see. Angela is going to try that. I look forward to hearing how that goes. All right, everybody. Well, I think I've covered all the questions. Oh, Anonymous. Bob, it's funny. I keep referring what you've been teaching these last few weeks to my chain of command when I try to get my point across, but they still don't get it. Well, yes, reality is not always that ideal think tank. So, but yeah, and again, keep embracing this because sometimes, you know, we're not in a culture or in a place where it can work, but that doesn't mean the opportunities aren't coming for other people as we go. So, but thanks for referring to this. I hope that goes well. So thank you all so much. Actually, part of my favorite times with this is the live Q&A. I love that and appreciate, you know, you asking questions and the dialogue like that. So anytime I'd love to hear what you get out of this. Email me back. Just let me know what you get out of this, what you're able to apply. I want to celebrate your wins. And if you hit a brick wall with something, kind of like trying to elevate it, if I can help, I will. And I hope you just have an amazing day. We get one day at a time. I just squeeze the juice out of it. That's all we have. And stay strong. And we will be in touch and hanging out again next week. I'll see you soon. Thanks a lot, y'all. Have a great day.